Our scripture reading this evening is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, and reading verses 19 to 27. Jeremiah 17, verses 19 to 27. Thus the Lord said to me, "Go and stand in the gate of the children of the people by which the kings of Judah come in and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem. And say to them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they did not obey, nor incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall be, if you heed me carefully, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work in it, then shall enter the gates of this city kings and princes sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin and from the lowland, from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices of praise to the house of the Lord. But if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched." So for the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, we continue our studies and reflections on the Sabbath day. And as I've mentioned before, when we hear about a doctrine in terms of precepts, simply stating of the doctrine, then all kinds of complications are brought, all kinds of arguments are raised about what it means, and especially about how it is that we're to put it into practice. And certainly the Sabbath question would certainly fall into that category. So that in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have many different understandings, many different ways that people think about the Sabbath. And it's such a wide spectrum. Some that, you know, believe as long as you go to church, then really the rest of the day, there are no restrictions. And so their argument would be that we have worshipped the Lord. We have kept the Sabbath because we've been to God's house. And so those kinds of views, then sometimes they meet very early on the Sunday. So most of the day is free for them to do whatever they want. It doesn't interfere with their plans. And some even go as far as having it on Saturday night. So now you have no encumbrances in terms of whatever your plans are on the Sunday. And others, of course, look at it sometimes very legalistically. As long as you attend both services, then you can in all good conscience say that you've kept the Sabbath. That's not necessarily true either. I mean, simply because we attend God's house, and twice at that, It doesn't necessarily mean that we've kept the Sabbath. And so in those instances, it's always helpful to have examples. And certainly the Old Testament gives us examples on a whole host of issues. So the things that we learn in the New Testament are seen in their everyday usage in the Old Testament. And so the Old Testament is very helpful as far as that is concerned. It's really the doctrines in action. And so this is no exception. And so that is why I wanted us to reflect upon Jeremiah, because that's what the Lord is calling his people on, is the Sabbath day. And the Lord applies this commandment to his people. And it is indicting them. And he's criticizing them for not keeping it, otherwise he would not have said what he said. Nowhere does it say they didn't go to the temple in Jerusalem. No one says that the people failed to go to the temple and worship as they should. But that's not the question that is raised in this passage. So as I said, if the issue simply for us when we're looking at the Sabbath is, did you attend twice? Or did you attend at all? If that's the only question, I think we're missing the point. I mean, the Lord could have said, well, as long as you attend the temple, everything's good. Everything's good. No, he doesn't do that. He goes beyond that. And so this passage, in that sense, is helpful for us and applicable to us, because the same temptations face us in our day and age. As I said, the Sabbath day, as long as we go to church, some people think, then the rest is ours. If we want to go shopping, we can go shopping. If we want to go to a ball game, we can go to a ball game. So this passage helps to focus our minds on what God has to say. But the first thing that this passage draws our attention to is the fact that we have to give the Sabbath our full attention. It has to occupy our mind. It has to be something that we bring into focus, into our hearts and into our minds. That this is the Lord's day. This is the Sabbath. This day God has set aside for a reason. And to help us do that, to help us to focus on the Lord's day, we're told to refrain from our work. And that's why the emphasis is on the Jerusalem gate, and all the gates, in fact. And this whole idea of carrying, bring no burden through the gate. I mean, it's not like the Pharisees that had such a legalistic approach where you just weren't to carry a certain weight, a certain distance. I mean, that isn't what God is on about. He's talking about carrying a burden related to our work. And Nehemiah, you know, was one that took that very seriously. Because people were gathering at the gate and they were waiting. It's like waiting for opening time. And you're right there outside ready to dash in. And people would take note of that in Jerusalem and they would act accordingly. It's like, you know, you're looking at the clock waiting for it to say go so you can get back to your work. Nehemiah was very upset about that. That their hearts and minds weren't on serving the Lord. I mean, it's like having a class and all your students are watching the clock. Eagerly waiting for that minute hand to strike that time that they can up and leave. You might be in the middle of a sentence, but they're going to go because that's really where their heart has been. And so so Nehemiah didn't want them to do that. And so these people that were coming to Jerusalem and waiting at the gate, he chased them away and he warned them that if they were going to do that, they weren't going to be allowed in at all. That they were encouraging the breaking of the Sabbath. They were encouraging people in Jerusalem to focus their eyes and minds on them and eager to get to them and start doing business. So Nehemiah addresses that, how to stop them doing those things and point out how terrible it was. And how terrible that God gives us rest from our labors. And remember, the Sabbath day includes in it the relief that God brought to them from the bondage that they had in Egypt. In Egypt, they had to work day after day after day after day. There was no Sabbath in Egypt. Having been subjected to that for nearly 400 years, now for God to give them rest, now that they're in His kingdom, to give them one day in seven, and they don't want it, they eagerly want to get back to work. Really says something about the nature of work and what God has freed us from. And of course there's a wonderful spiritual lesson in that. We're not saved by work. You're not saved by what you do. It's not your efforts that lay that solid foundation. That has been laid by the Lord Jesus Christ. All the work that needed to be done was done by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's this solid foundation. And here's an opportunity for you to let that sink in, to cease from your labors, to opt out of the rat race in which we engage 6 days of the week, and to rest on the Lord Jesus Christ, to be thankful about that, to be so thankful that even though the world rushes on, we take time to stop. We take time to reflect on the fact that God has done it all for us. There is nothing else for us to do with respect to our salvation. That has been won by the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants us to understand that. God wants us to rejoice in that. God wants us to rest in that so that when we go into the week, we don't try and lay another foundation. We don't say, oh, it's not enough. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. Not that we don't have to work. Not that there's not plans that we have to pursue and things that we have to do. But in terms of our rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, our hearts are at rest. He's given us rest that the world cannot give. He's given us rest so that our hearts can relax. That we can have peace that passes all understanding. That we can be satisfied in the most inner beings of our hearts. And though we may be in need on various levels, as Paul says, we are content because we know that God has done everything that we need for eternity. And what a reminder. We need to be reminded of that week after week after week after week. Because it is so easy to begin to look at it in an earthly way. And it's never enough, is it? It's never enough. In this world, we pursue certain things and we just keep working and we just keep working and we just keep working. And it's never enough. Whether we're rich or whether we're poor, according to whatever standards you might think, nobody's satisfied. Nobody's satisfied. And people have billions, but they keep on working, finding ways to make more and more money. And then, well, what are you going to do with it? You can't even spend that much in a lifetime. And they keep going. Because that's the way the devil is. He'll keep us on this treadmill until we drop dead. And so God's wonderful provision for us in the Sabbath day is to show that we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Show that we have trust in Him. Show that we are resting in Him. That we cease from our labor. We let go, as it were, knowing that He has us in his hands. But not only do we refrain from work, and certainly as I mentioned in Jerusalem, that was a point that needed to be made. They needed to stop. And not only stop, but they needed to stop thinking about it. As I mentioned about Nehemiah. I mean, it's one thing that we're in church, as I said, maybe even twice. But the thing is, our mind may be somewhere else. Our mind may be thinking about what we're going to do in the week. Our mind may be preoccupied with this concern and that concern. So we never do enjoy the rest. Because we have to learn to rest. We need to learn to thank God and know that God has provided for all that we need. Not only spiritually, of course, but for this life, God provides for us too. God doesn't say, well, I've given you salvation, so don't worry about the rest. You know, endure that. No, God cares for the food and drink that we eat. And so we need to trust him. That as we do our part, as we work, as God tells us to in the 6 days, that God will take care of us, as he has done on the spiritual realm. But not only are we to focus our minds by refraining from our work, we also need to refrain from our pleasure. So sometimes people think, well, I'm not earning any money by doing this work, and so therefore that work is okay. So they define work simply in terms of making money. And so if they're not making money, then it doesn't count as work. But the Sabbath is telling us not to pursue our own pleasures. In other words, not to make the Sabbath all about us. All about us. The Sabbath is to be used to delight in the Lord. The Sabbath is to be used for us to engage our minds and hearts on who God is and what he's done for us, and to thank him for it and to rejoice in it and to recite to one another and to ourselves all that God has provided for us, rather than chasing after this pleasure or chasing after that pleasure. Then basically the Sabbath, all the Sabbath becomes is simply a rest for us. Simply a rest. I mean, worldly people also take a day off. They may use the Sunday as a day of rest. It's a family day, or it's this day, or it's a day for me to do whatever I want to do. But that's not keeping the Sabbath. It's just doing what they didn't have time to do during the week. So simply because we don't engage in work doesn't mean that we're keeping the Sabbath. It doesn't mean that we're praising and glorifying God and focusing upon all that he's done for us. No, we're not to pursue our own pleasures. And so that's something that you can ask for yourself, you know, on any activity that you engage in on the Sabbath. Then we need to ask, why am I doing this? How am I praising God? How am I keeping the Sabbath day holy by doing this thing? How am I thanking God for what he's provided for me? How am I glorifying him for the wonderful work of redemption that is captured, by the way, by the Lord's Day, in the sense that he arose from the grave? I mean, that's why it changes from the Sabbath day to the Lord's Day, because the Lord arose on the first day of the week. It wasn't the last day, the Sabbath. And so that becomes the focus. And so everything needs to revolve on the Lord's Day around him and our redemption and the debt that we owe to him and what he's rescued us from and what he's given to us, what we've inherited through him. That is the point. And it's not an idle exercise. It's not a theoretical exercise. It's not an academic exercise. It's the very fuel that strengthens us for the week, knowing what we have, knowing this solid foundation, knowing this glorious relationship that we have with God, knowing who we are in terms of our relationship with God, that we are the children of God. We are under His care every day of our lives. That's something that neutralizes the temptations that the devil brings during the week, the dissatisfaction that he seeks to sow into our hearts. When we come from the Sabbath day, and as we reflect on all of these things, then it should focus our minds on the Lord Himself. So not only are we to refrain from work and focus our mind. Not only are to we refrain from our pleasures and focus our mind, but we are indeed to take delight in the Sabbath. It ought to be something that we look forward to. It ought to be something that we desire with all of our heart. The Sabbath day ought to be the best day of the week. I wonder whether that is for you. The best day of the week. A day that we can delight. A day that we can celebrate. A day that we can put all the rest of the things aside. Because we are so overwhelmed by what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way the Apostle John, when he's thinking about what it is that we have in God, he says, beloved, now we are the children of God. Now we are the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He, that is Christ, is pure. I mean, you can just sense the enthusiasm in his part. I mean, he's just gushing. He just is bursting out of him to the people that he's writing to. And he's trying to stress the magnitude of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're the children of God. And yet, this is not all. There's more to come. More that I cannot even begin to explain. I cannot even begin to plumb the depths of what is yet to come. When He appears, we shall be like Him. Must even begin to speak about heaven and our relationship with God and our experience in His presence for eternity. We cannot begin. We can only scratch the surface. We see through a glass darkly at the moment. We cannot enter into the full glories. And by the way, this is from an apostle that God used to give us a book of Revelation. All the visions that he saw. And he's just beside himself with such excitement. That's the delight that we need to have. There needs to be that sense of exhilaration when we think about the gospel, when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, when we think about our relationship to Him and the forgiveness of sins and the work that He's doing in each and every one of us. Have you ever caught yourself in a moment like that? What the Apostle John says here. It is when we think about along those lines, then we know what it means to keep this day holy. And we know what it means to cherish this day. We know what it means to long for this day. And perhaps we know what the Israelites were talking about when they are reflecting upon what they miss. I mean, this is what the Israelites were saying in exile, which we had for our church welcome, Psalm 137. describes their sorrow and their longing as believers to be in Jerusalem, to be in the temple of God. And the very idea that they would forget about it, that they would neglect it, that they would not long for it, it was an unthinkable thought to them. The thought of forgetting and neglecting, it says, such opportunities was abhorrent to the believers. And this is the way they wrote, "If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy, my chief delight." That is what God wants of us. This day to be a day in which we rejoice, a day in which we recite, a day in which we reflect upon all that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we glory in it. And we let the nations know by our example, as they are chasing the worldly dream of getting ahead and doing this and doing that, we let them know that we have something that far excels that and satisfies our souls, whereas theirs don't. Even as God says in Isaiah 55, "What are you running around chasing this and chasing that? Come. Come buy from me. Without price. And I will give you that bread. I will give you that drink that will satisfy your soul." And in all of this delighting, in all of this keeping holy and jealously guarding, we honor the Lord. We give Him all the praise and all the glory. We humble ourselves before Him. We calm, our souls and hearts are calm as we draw near to His throne. And as we hear these things, as we reflect upon them, when we hear them preached, we read God's word, as we draw near in prayer, reciting these things and rejoicing in these things, it is the Lord that is honored. And as we worship our God with that satisfaction, that in and of itself is a witness to all those around us. That rest is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and only in Him. The passage ends on a grave note. Even as Moses said, "I lay before you today life and death. Choose life." And that's the way Jeremiah brings God's word to his people. That if they heed the Lord, if they listen to Him carefully in what He says, which is exactly what we've outlined, that you refrain from your labors, you refrain from your pleasures, and you worship God, and you concentrate on all that God has done for you, and you submit yourselves to Him, then God will grant us His blessing. Then those blessings will continue in the Old Testament as kings and princes continue sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and horses, and continuing the fulfillment of those redemptive blessings that would eventually climax in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords riding into Jerusalem on that mission of redemption as He lays down His life for us. Then all the promises that God made to Abraham and to his descendants and to David would come about. They would be fulfilled. We would enter into those wonderful privileges of being God's people. And we would become the center attraction, as it were, for everyone else. Everyone would come to us. Everyone would come to God's people and join them. They would see the things. They would see the joy that we have and the delight that we have and the satisfaction that we have. And they would follow suit. And that's what we want to be. Examples to the world. That in Christ we have everything. Christ, in Christ we are content. In Christ we have peace that passes all understanding. Those are the things that this world yearns for, but they go rushing off in a direction that they'll never find satisfaction. But here we have it. Here we have it. We have every Sabbath day a means of expressing that and showing that to all those around us, encouraging them. This is life that God gives to us. We need to acknowledge it and rejoice in it. But he says in verse 27, but if you will not heed me. In other words, you don't hallow the Sabbath day. By what? By not heeding my advice. You do engage in your work. You do have an eye on the clock. You are waiting for the gates of Jerusalem to open so that you can get in and get on with your work. If you do that, he says, I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. If we turn away from the Sabbath, and that is symbolic, of course, of turning away from the Lord himself. When we don't trust him, when we don't rejoice in him, when we substitute him with our own efforts and our own pursuits, and we trust in our own labors, then we're going to fail to receive and enjoy the full blessings that God has for us in redemption. Then we're going to lay our own foundation. That foundation that is on sand, as soon as that is challenged, as soon as the waves come, it erodes, it evaporates, it breaks down, and it leaves us wanting. When it is tested by God, it will not stand the light of day. And so Jeremiah, in one sense, echoes the words of Moses, I lay before you today life and death. Choose life. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe what he has given us in his word. Trust him in all the provisions that he's provided for us and walk in his way. It's not a legalistic approach. As I said, it's not a matter of whether we attend church once or whether we attend church two. No, this message applies to everyone. In our hearts, do we keep the Sabbath? In our consciences, do we keep the Sabbath? Do we understand what God has done for us? And there are practical applications of that, how we can show that. And here it is. We refrain from our work. We focus and delight upon Christ. And we honor him. And we rejoice in him and serve him in the strength that we receive on the rest that we have on the day that he is given to call us to himself. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you remind us of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You remind us of what Christ has accomplished for us by his death on the cross. You remind us of our eternal resting place in you. We have places reserved in heaven. And our Father in heaven, we pray that that would calm our hearts and our minds. That would bring peace into our hearts. That would bring freedom and liberty. Not to do as we will, but freedom and liberty to pursue holiness, to serve you with all of our heart, mind, and strength. And our Father in heaven, we pray that that would be reflected upon our embrace of the Sabbath. And Lord, we pray that it would be a day that we call a delight, that it would be a day that is the Lord, And everything that we do for him. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless your people. And once again, that the Sabbath may be that thing that unites us and focuses our minds on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, hear our prayers and bless us in this week, for we pray these things in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Blue Hymnals number 280.